What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help.
Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And if you have ever listened to this show, you know one of the things that we do are so proud of here at News Radio 92.3 is we hope that we can reach out to the community and support our community organizations in making the effort to help those in need, and particularly our homeless population. So it's always a pleasure, and I'm very proud to have on the show on a regular basis now our friends with the Homeless Coalition of Care, FL511. That's the sponsor of the show today. And our guests, of course, we have Bruce Cady, who's here with Opening Doors. Good morning, Bruce.
Hey, good morning, Meg. Great to be here.
And you've got a guest with you today, Reverend Ashley Mosley Brown, Executive Director with Bright Bridge Ministries. And thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. There you go. Try that again.
Good morning.
So thank you both for being here. There are so many issues that affect our community. We hear so many different reports in the news and who's doing this and what's happening. We've had a lot of rain lately. I was thinking about you, Bruce, the other day because I was thinking, what are these folks doing with this bad weather, with flooding and lightning? And so let's talk about what you do at Opening Doors and what your role is in helping our homeless population.
Great. Well, yeah, thank you, Meg. And the weather is a concern, obviously, to our community at large, whether you're homeless or you're housed. Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, we're the lead agency for the homeless continuum of care across Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. So that's a long title for the work that we do, which is coordinate. We coordinate with the wonderful homeless service delivery providers like Bright Bridge Ministries, Ashley is here today, to make sure that gaps in service are identified. And when there are gaps, we work together collaboratively to resolve those gaps, to ensure that those experiencing homelessness in our community have an opportunity to leave homelessness in the time that they're homeless, is as short as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So think of all of our providers as the band.
Right.
And we're the conductor to make sure everyone's kind of playing, at the right rhythm and the right right notes. So you'd mentioned weather. Our outreach teams have been going out every day.
Oh, my goodness. In this weather, no doubt?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
The heat index is over 100 degrees every day. The rain, the lightning, the mosquitoes, and all of that. And when we go out to outreach, one of our first goals is to identify who is on the street, what their needs are, what their barriers to housing are, and then just work with them step by step to remove those barriers and get them into permanent housing. Part of that work is to understand that the unhoused are in incredible risk during inclement weather conditions, whether it's, you know, the snow and the cold in the winter,
mm-hmm.
Or the heat and the thunderstorms, and you know, God forbid that we have a hurricane this year. So we're working with all of our community partners and providers, the counties, the cities, to make sure that plans are in place for weather contingencies to ensure that, you know, if a named storm comes and emergency weather shelters are activated, we're the ones that help make sure that the homeless know about it.
Mm-hmm.
We work with community providers, the local governments, ECAT, to work on getting a transportation for those individuals. And from my perspective, most importantly, continue our work to provide case management and supportive services to help those experiencing homelessness leave that homelessness. That's what we do every day.
So basically, you're not giving them a handout, but a hand up, which is an expression
I love that I heard
many years ago. Okay, so tell us a little bit about your role then when you're working with Bright Bridge Ministries and how you all work together.
Well, Bright Bridge Ministries has been here for many years, and I'll let Reverend Ashley describe what they do and how they do it. Part of our role is to act as the conduit for federal and state funding sources into the community.
Mm-hmm.
Bright Bridge Ministries is one of our funded partners, receiving state funding to help maintain their operations for their shelter and their transitional housing programs. And I know they have other local funding sources as well that I'm sure Ashley will speak of. And so we work with them to ensure that we get as much funding as we can to them for them to sustain their operations, and then also work with them to make sure that the funding is documented properly in compliance with the grants. Mm-hmm. We're collecting the data, the reports are accurate. So we do a lot of the behind the scenes work with the data to make sure that we support Ashley and her team so they can focus on their service delivery with their homeless program participants.
Okay, so Ashley, tell us a little bit about Brightbridge Ministries. I know some folks are familiar, but maybe someone is not familiar with what you do and how you got started.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. This is such a privilege to be here, and we are a very proud partner of our continuum of care, and Bruce and his team take such great care of us. And so to be invited to speak on behalf of the COC and talk about Brightbridge, it's just a wonderful, wonderful start to my day. So Brightbridge Ministries has actually been around since 2006. So we're really started services in 2007, but we're a 20-year-old organization that is a nonprofit that is tied to the United Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. So we operate out of Richards Memorial United Methodist Church. And it's important to mention that partnership because that's why we have that really large facility. We have a grant writer paid for by our Conference of the United Methodist Church.
That's
important
great.
To mention. So
yes.
there's a lot of keys to our success that come from being a part of that that larger organization. But it started in 2007 to really address the needs of the inner city. And so mm-hmm. a bunch of United Methodist churches got together and said, what can we do? So the mission of Brightbridge Ministries is to promote the dignity and well-being of the homeless and under-resourced in our community. It's a beautifully wide-arching mission statement because the needs of the community are wide-arching as well. So we have really two halves to our business. The first half is that every day, Monday through Friday, we feed anyone who's hungry. So
wow.
we're a low-barrier provider, meaning they don't have to have a license, they don't have to have money, they don't have to have an ID, they don't have to be a citizen, they just have to be hungry. So
okay.
we say, if you're hungry, we'll take care of you. When they come, it's about 150 to 200 people we feed daily.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a hot, healthy, hearty meal. It's not just a sack lunch and an apple in a bag. It's a real meant to sustain you for a whole day.
Where are you located?
We're located at 2600 West Strong Street in the Brownsville area, zip mm-hmm. code 32505. And
are there hours to this?
Yes. So it is our dining hall hours are 10 to 12.
Okay.
Very specifically during that time is when we also provide all of our supportive services. So we provide case management. We provide referrals to community partners. So anyone that dines with us, they're getting more than just food.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting hygiene items. They're getting food pantry items.
Really great.
They can mailbox with us, which is something people don't think about. If you don't have a mailing address,
right.
you don't exist.
Oh my gosh, what a valuable service.
And that sounds really trite to say,
no,
but
what
if
a
you
valuable
don't have
service that is.
A mailing address, you can't buy anything with a contract like a cell phone. You can't get your food stamps sent in the mail.
Yep. Wow, I never thought about that.
You can't communicate with loved ones. And so there's a very few limited partners in the community that will do that. Shout out to Waterfront, who's
Absolutely.
Another partner of our COC. They also provide mailbox service. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of our guests, all of our guests that eat with us, they're also there to get their mail. And so it's really
Gosh.
Neat. And we
it's
also
a community
have,
center.
Yeah. And it's a day center, really, even though we're only there from 10. Well, we're there all day, but we only open it up to the community from 10 to 12.
And you know what? Right now, that's a good time to be indoors.
It is.
Because that's
is.
The hottest
and
part of the day.
What's key about that is it serves as a front porch, I call it, to the rest of our services. So the other half of our nonprofit is a transitional home, an emergency shelter and transitional home for men that are seeking stability in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they're struggling with recovery or joblessness or homelessness, usually it's a combination of those things, and usually it's a combination of trauma, mental health, substance use disorder, all playing together.
Mm-hmm.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Everyone's story is different.
Hard to say.
Everyone's story is different, but all of that just becomes this blessed difficulty that these folks need to get through. And so providing a stable place for them to get off the streets, to get work, to increase their financial stability, to receive case management, to get hot, healthy, hearty meals daily, and to live in our facility. So what's interesting about our facility is the whole facility is used by Brightbridge. That's all Richards Memorial United Methodist Church does. And I keep referencing things. I'm also the pastor of the church. So okay. It's like a two for one.
Gotcha.
So two whole wings of the building are just filled by men living in our program. We house 90 men.
I didn't realize there were that many.
We house 90 men in our program. So they often meet us in the dining hall, mailbox with us. They're in dire straits, get on the wait list, get into our program, and then live with us really as long as they need to, up to a 2-year window, which is some wonderful continuum of care specific stuff. You know, we talk about, I appreciate you thinking about our neighbors struggling in the weather. That was a doozy last night, right, everybody?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I was so grateful to have a roof
over
my head.
And I'm in my car. Mm-hmm. I was driving, which was a little precarious, but
yes.
I was driving. And
scary.
I drove by an area of town where a lot of our unhoused beloveds are, and I saw them, bless them, hunkering down just under the eaves of a strip mall.
Oh, gosh.
And y'all know that wasn't covering them a bit because that rain was sideways and from the ground.
Yeah.
And
the wind.
And then I saw another sweet soul riding his bike. It just probably felt refreshed. and you could tell he was like, this is my shower for the day. And it's just such a tough life. And so to be able to provide in partnership with all of our members of the COC, our specific niche of services, it just is a blessing. And so we're so grateful for all the partners that do their specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And one of the rules we all kind of use with each other is like to do a duplication of services, to just do something else that one of the other organizations doing, it's a disservice to the supportive services, which is obviously little nonprofit speak there, but you just do your specific part really well. And so we have that dining hall ministry with all the supportive services wrapped around it, and our His Place shelter where we house 90 men. And
that's
it's incredible. Every day I get a front row seat to people's lives being changed. And also, really key to understand Brightbridge Ministries, just a couple numbers, with only 5 staff.
Wow. Back up.
There are
90
5
people
staff
and all that food
and all the dining hall.
Oh my goodness.
It is primarily volunteer backed. So in 2025 alone, we had over 10,750 volunteer hours.
Wow.
And this is because individuals, families, businesses, churches, and other nonprofits, they have a scheduled kind of dining hall service time with us. Maybe they come the first Monday of the month or every Wednesday.
It's a regular
or they
commitment.
Just pop in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just pop in sometimes. But at any day of the week, there's anywhere from 8 to 15 volunteers there from 8:30 to 12:30 because they care.
Yes.
And so that's the first action, is anyone that cares about homelessness or veterans. We get a lot of veterans. If you care about food insecurity or substance use disorder, it's a great way to just plug in at any time. And so we're so grateful for that.
If you just joined us, we're talking with our friends from Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. The executive director is here. The executive director is here from Brightbridge Ministries, that Pastor Ashley Mosley Brown. And then Bruce Cady is here, who is the basically, I guess your title too is executive director, would you say?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yes, okay.
For Opening Doors Northwest Florida.
So if you have a question for them, please, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and these are the experts on helping those that are or a need in our community, if you've got a question, 850-437-1620. One of the things, Bruce, that I think is so important about your being on this show is there's a lot of misunderstanding about homelessness, how people get into that position. Some folks take the attitude it's their fault or whatever, but there are so many different situations and circumstances that can suddenly affect someone, and I appreciate that when you come on the show, we try to do our best to remove that stigma, because that's something that gets in the way. And I loved, Pastor, when you said you call it the unhomed beloved. I like that. I like that a lot better than the homeless, because that has so much attached to it. But there are people that suddenly have dire circumstances, and in this economy and the way things are going right now, it's difficult for a lot of folks, especially if you got a lot of kids. Maybe you lose your job and it's not your fault.
That's right. No one chooses it.
I'm going to
go right on record. Bruce can jump in. No one chooses that.
Right.
And the amalgamy of stuff that happens to someone.
You must hear so many stories.
It's pretty incredible. And any misgivings I may have had, two years into being at this site in particular, you just learn. It could happen to anybody, at any time, anywhere.
Well, and Meg, let me share a statistic that would reinforce your point. So in the month of January, we do the annual point in time count. That's when the survey occurs. This past January, 2026, just here in Escambia County, there were over 1,500 residential evictions.
Oh, my gosh.
That went to completion. At that same time period,
so people forced out of their home.
Yep, they were evicted for whatever reason. There were 500 rental units available at fair market rent.
That's it.
So the question is,
where do those other families go?
Yep, they double up with family members. And think about this. So say you have adult children who have children. And they get evicted for whatever reason. Well, they move in with mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. Maybe grandma and grandpa are renters too. And every community has limitations on the number of heartbeats per residential rental. And every residential rental lease requires that everyone that is in that rental unit be on the lease, be background checked, be credit checked, and pay all the fees and deposits associated with it. So that young family moving in with their adult parents are putting their adult parents at risk for eviction as well.
Wow.
And so it can be a cascading event. The school districts, both our counties, Escambia and Santa Rosa, do a wonderful job with their McKinney-Vento offices to provide services to families with children in the school system that find themselves to be housing unstable or ultimately entering a state of homelessness. And there are services available through the schools to help those children. They're the most vulnerable in our community who are experiencing something that is completely outside of their control. And so the statistic nationally that I see that is very much applicable here in the two counties that we serve, 20% of the homelessness, the people experiencing homelessness, are the individuals that we see on the streets, in the park benches, in the tents. 20%. 80% are hidden.
Right.
They're doubled up. Mm-hmm. They're tripled up in an extended stay hotel. They can't afford, rental deposits, first month moving expenses, but they can afford a week in a hotel. And then another week in a hotel. And
like the pastor said, in your cars.
And in your cars.
So many people live in their cars. I will not identify the person, but we have a client that we've served who worked, was working full time, and then got diagnosed with cancer and totally alone, doesn't have any family here because he's here on a immigration visa. And so when he got his diagnosis, he started going through treatment. And eventually got to where he wasn't able to work, as one does with a cancer diagnosis. Had about $10,000 in savings because,
he was
Mama
working,
taught him how to save and how to work hard. Right. So he had all that set up. But that was burned through after 3 or 4 months. And so he moved to his car. So he continued to do his treatment while living out of his vehicle. Gosh. And then eventually someone said, have you heard about Brightbridge? So he came and started eating with us, actually started volunteering because mm-hmm. it's who this person is. And just his heart is so big. And then eventually, of course, we got him in as soon as we could.
Sure.
And so the reason I bring that up is because it's stories like that. There's always an origin point. Mm-hmm. There's always an origin point. No one starts in dire straits.
Right. And there's certainly a lot of mental illness.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
And veterans also have circumstances beyond their control.
I will tell you, with my undiagnosed, like I haven't done the survey myself, but we know that almost every single person that we're serving, like I said, it's a combination of mental health, trauma that was either there, like sometimes it was of their making, oftentimes it wasn't, mm-hmm. like early childhood trauma, and that leads to whatever with mental health, or the mental health was already a part of it, you know, at birth. Mm-hmm. And you just add those complexities. And then because of access, if you don't have a cell phone, if you don't have a car, you can't make that appointment for that doctor's appointment. You can't get to it. Mm-hmm. You may want to go to community health, but you can't get there. Right. And so the quicker thing to do is to sell something that you have on your person and get a $5 bill from someone and then go to the corner store and get a fifth, get a bottle.
Right.
That is how it happens. Mm-hmm. Persons who get into the substance use, it's a numbing agent to numb the depression that they are unhoused. They feel unloved. Mm-hmm. We know they're loved. And part of our joy at Brightbridge is to remind every single person, you matter. Mm. And I know you don't feel like it right now, and I know you are in a tough spot, but you do matter, and you deserve to be seen with the dignity that you just deserve as an inherent human.
So we just have a few minutes left, so I did want to be sure that our listeners have an opportunity, if they would like to help out, how they can help out, if they want to volunteer or donate or anything that you all would like to mention. We've got about 2 or 3 minutes left, but wanted to be sure that we touched on everything that we can do to help.
Check out our website. Check out our social media, both on Instagram and Facebook. We are brightbridgeministries.org, or just Brightbridge Ministries. Check out our website. We have a donate page that has a wish list, which has lots of great stuff. We like tangible things, too, friends.
Okay.
And then, obviously, volunteering with us is huge. You heard about that. Mm-hmm. And then on our donate page, there's lots of ways to get involved. You can give just in general or to specific things. If you care more about shelter, you could give to our shelter budget. If you care more about the food piece, you could give to that. So come and get involved.
Okay. And what about you, Bruce?
Well, we also are very much in need of volunteers to help us do the work that we do as we support the community.
You're in the community daily, correct?
Absolutely, with street outreach. That's been a focus of my agency since I started. You can go on our website, which is www.openingdoorsnwfl.org, and we have a volunteer page there. We also have a donate page. And also, I want to remind everyone that if you're in an emergency that requires law enforcement, EMS, or fire, you call 911. If you have another emergency that does not require that, but it's still an emergency in your life, mm-hmm. call 211. The 211 here is operated by United Way of West Florida. Awesome organization, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You can get referrals to Opening Doors mm-hmm. for a coordinated entry if you're homeless or late rent payments. You can get referrals to Brightbridge Ministries. So people only have to remember one number, 211, well, actually three numbers, 211. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful resource for anything social service related for individuals and families.
Doesn't cost you anything.
0.0.
Zero, just the price of the phone call. So, and nowadays you can get calls in for free. So,
and sharing that with people, mm-hmm. I think is so key. People say, you know, I've got someone I love or a neighbor that I love. 211. Mm-hmm. Send that person to 211 or call 211 with that person with you.
And we just got a question really quick. You mentioned that you have these services for men. Can you recommend some places that help women?
I do. Ultimately, we're going to recommend Waterfront for everything. Mm-hmm. Waterfront is also your provider for emergency services. So, mm-hmm. again, programs like Brightbridge, we do have a wait list because these are folks that want to work, want to be sober, want to change their lives.
Right.
Everyone's
so
not there.
Transitional.
Emergency shelter is Waterfront. women's programming is waterfront.
Okay, very good to know. All right, thank you so much. And give that website again, Bruce, because you are the Continuum of Care. The sponsor today was Homeless Continuum of Care, FL511.
And that website is www.openingdoorsnwfl.org.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Pastor, for all that you do in our community, reaching out to help those in need. We need you, and we need all of you to support these organizations that are doing so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Meg.
Thank you.